Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around. Call
1-800-FURNACE. Hey, you're listening to Tooncast.
Set free by the Teen Angels from his prehistoric block of glacier ice comes the world's first superhero, Captain Caveman. Now the constant companion to the Teen Angels, Brenda, Dee Dee, and Taffy in their hilarious and sometimes scary mystery missions. Get ready for Captain Caveman and the Teen Angels.
Hello and welcome to the 47th episode of Tooncast, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am your host, Steve, Joe, and Mike, and today I am joined once again by Kevin, Professor Boss K-Dog Thompson, who is not all choppy this time.
Hopefully. We can only cross our fingers and hope.
Yeah. Today we will be finishing up the Hanna-Barbera Spotlight with Captain Caveman and those female Scooby-Doo impersonators.
Charlie's Angels.
Yeah. Well, no, actually, it's more of the female Scooby-Doo impersonators, because I watched, like, before I called you, I watched a couple episodes on YouTube. There's one where they're at some lodge or something. They're going to go skiing, and one of the, I don't remember which one of the bitches said something. They're like, I mean, took a line. Well, they took a line just exactly from Shaggy. Oh, good. We don't have to do any more creepy mysteries. We can just have fun.
Yeah,
that is a line straight from Shaggy Rogers from Scooby Doo. So, exactly. Yes, I would like to address the mystery caller. I know it's probably going to be about a month and a half before he gets this response, but he did call back. Apparently, his name is Kevin as well.
Good name.
And, yeah, whatever. He called it a vector-style animation or something. I don't know. It's
so from now on, I do not like vector-style or flash-style animation on cartoons.
Oh, boy.
But I'm not going to rip on Dexter, because he'll keep calling in.
Yeah, exactly. That's the last. You know, he called in, and he left a message, and I'm like, okay, cool. But it cut off. Calls back. That's like Michael Wilson. Michael Wilson, he called like 4 or 5 times because I was having him do stuff for ToyCast episode 50, which by the time this episode airs, episode 50 would have already been out. But, you know, he called like 4 or 5 damn times. I was like, and he called me from an unknown number. I'm like, okay, fine. I know who this is going to be. So I said, you know, like in between when he left messages, when he's like, why are you just answering the phone? Like, because you keep fucking calling. Why the hell do you keep calling? Yeah. What's been going on with you, sir?
Two main projects that I've been working on, basically. I have 340 screen captures of Transformers characters from Generation 1 updated on our site, so... You can see basically a screen cap from the DVD for just about every character that exists. I haven't gone through all the aliens and humans, but it's getting up there. It's got the second most characters on the site. And then I yesterday did my first... it's been a long, long time since I've done any voice compares. And I did the 4 Scooby-Doo characters. The 4 main ones, not Scooby, but Velma, Daphne, Freddy, and Shaggy. So.
What the hell did you compare them to? The movie versions?
The Freddy version, there's only 2, because Frank Welker has done Freddy on everything except for a pup named Scooby-Doo.
Mm-hmm.
And then the others, the Velma and Daphne have had about 5 or 6 different voice actors over the years. Yeah, and even Shaggy's had about 4. Shaggy's had Casey Kasem for the most part, but the guy that did Shaggy in the live-action movie just took over for Kasem on the animated stuff.
Oh, really? Matthew Lillard? Yeah.
Yeah, because Kasem retired basically as a voice actor. And then Scott Menville and Scott Innes have done Shaggy, but the girls have definitely had a lot more variety. So
yeah.
You can listen to them all back-to-back and vote on your favorite, although there are some that are awful. There's someone that did Velma named Marla Frumpkin, who is just terrible.
least they're up there. It's been a long time. We had a couple requests about it, so I got them up there, and you can listen to them.
Mm-hmm. Did you put up the, not the compare, but the two profiles for Scatman?
Jazz
in Hong Kong?
That's actually on my list of things to do today. I have Jazz up, I just don't have Hong Kong Fooey up yet.
Slacking off.
Well, it took me a while. It took me a lot longer to get some of these old Scooby-Doo episodes. You wouldn't imagine how much stuff is not on YouTube. And then the other thing I got wasted my time with was a while back I entered entries for all the Land Before Time movies.
And why would you waste your time with that crap?
Because there's been like 10 different actors that have done Littlefoot. So I thought that'd be a pretty cool voice compare, but it's impossible to find clips for the 11th and 12th movies. There's been 13 movies, and the 11th and 12th one, for some reason, are hard to find. So I have like 7 of the actors entered, but I'm waiting on the last 3. I don't know why I did that. I loved the first movie when I watched it originally. I've never seen any of the other ones.
The first movie was okay, but they pretty much...
It became like a musical thing, I think. I've never seen any of the other movies.
Well, I've never seen any of the other ones either, but, like, I would see advertisements. It's kind of like the whole Beethoven thing. Yeah. Like, after Beethoven's second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, it's like, Jesus Christ, how many times and how many different dogs can you get to play this damn character?
Yeah. Apparently Land Before Time has become like a music thing, because all I can find on a lot of the movies is just song clips on YouTube. Like, here's them singing this song. I'm like, I don't want them singing, I want them talking.
Yes. It's stupid. Yeah. Yes, I've been, I guess we should give a little bit of a show note here. We have recorded a lot of episodes 40 through 49 earlier than what we would normally do because we wanted to get ahead. Well, I wasn't really planning on doing this, but we kind of got ahead of ourselves in scheduling. As far as recording the episodes. So if some of the stuff that we're talking about in this episode is, by the time this episode airs, it'll be very dated. But, whatever. Oh. Anyway, I have been watching one of my favorite and one of the best cop shows in the last 10 years, Nash Bridges.
Oh, my God.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
What?
Nothing.
What? That's it. Let's go. You might as well.
I can't take anything that Chuck Norris does seriously. I'm sorry.
What? Chuck Norris?
Not Chuck Norris, the other guy. I can't even think of the guy's name. Who's Nash Bridges?
Don Johnson?
Yeah, Don Johnson. I don't know. It's just all cheesy to me for some reason.
Well, if you would actually watch the show, it's fine if... Well, if you're not a fan of it, fine. But if you at least, watch a couple episodes and give it a chance, it is... a very well done show.
I won't give you too hard a time. I'm sure I like a lot of shows that other people don't like. I'm, obsessed with MacGyver, and there's a lot of people that don't like MacGyver. So,
see, I like MacGyver, and see the whole point. One of the reasons why, and I mentioned this in the Geekcast Radio episode that Derek Ferguson and I did on Nash Bridges, that one of the reasons why I got into that show was because of the whole at the time back in the 90s, 96, 97, when CBS started their Friday night action block, which it was Walker, Texas Ranger, which that was Chuck Norris, yeah. Martial Law with Sammo, and Nash Bridges was the third component of that action block for CBS on Friday nights, and I got into Nash because I remember seeing him in Miami Vice.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Do you know what I've been getting into lately? It was kind of off topic, but they've been showing it at midnight. I think on WGN or something every night, and I've seen all these episodes probably 1,000 times.
In the Heat of the Night?
No, the Star Trek: The Next Generation. I've been watching those like every single night, and if not, I've been DVRing them. But what the crazy thing that that's kind of got my interest lately is the guest stars. The guest stars on that show, which of course every episode has them. It's kind of like most sitcoms. Especially back in that time period, it was just chock full with, guest stars every single week. Yeah. But there is a ton of voice actors who guest starred in live roles on Star Trek.
Yeah.
Alan Oppenheimer, Chris Latta. I mean, I could just keep naming them, and it's just funny watching the show and then seeing a name pop up, and you're like, what?
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, most of the time they're like a Klingon or something, you can't even recognize them, but it's still kind of interesting to watch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, you take a show like that or a show, I mean, hell, even, you know, people can say what they want to say about Nash Bridges or Walker, Texas Ranger or whatever. You take shows like that, shows like Law & Order, shows like NYPD Blue, and just look at the guest list.
Yeah.
Law & Order especially, all the Law & Orders, well, specifically the original one and the SVU. Just look at the guest list for those, and wow.
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly. I mean, even if you look at MacGyver, MacGyver had, like, Cuba Gooding Jr. on it as, like, a little teenager. And it had Lois from the Superman live-action.
Margot Kidder.
No. I mean, the newer, the 90s Superman.
Oh, Terry Hatcher.
Yeah, it had Terry Hatcher on it before she was famous. I mean, those old shows, you can find, like, Murder, She Wrote's another one like that.
Yep.
You just find a bunch of old people that before they got their big break or before they ever got famous.
You know, the beautiful thing about Nash Bridges is they could have done, because they teamed up Don Johnson and Cheech Marin, they could bring back their former partners. And they did in a couple of episodes, Philip Michael Thomas and Tommy Chong. So, you know, it's always interesting to see, you know, stuff like that. But whatever, if you're not into the show,
I'll give you credit. It's better than Psych.
Yeah, anything is better than Psych. I don't even watch that show.
Yeah, and it's better than Walker.
Two different shows, but yeah, okay. All right, so getting into the history lesson for Captain Caveman, take it away.
All right, today's history lesson, we actually, for the first time during the Hanna-Barbera Spotlight, make it into the wonderful decade of the 1980s as we wrap up our Hanna-Barbera Spotlight with Captain Caveman and the Teen Angels. Captain Caveman was an animated series created by Joe Ruby and Ken Spears, and of course produced by Hanna-Barbera Productions. It began airing in September 10th, actually, of 1977, but did make it into June 21st, 1980, and it aired on ABC. The first and second season were originally broadcast as segments on the packaged shows Scooby's All-Star Laugh Olympics and Scooby's All-Stars, from 77 to 79, and the third season actually featured Captain Caveman in their very own half-hour time slot, which aired in 1980. All right, that does it for the history lesson. What do you remember about our favorite old caveman?
Well, first of all, I didn't know this at the time, and I should have, but way back in episode 20 of this show, when I was doing the Looney Tunes research, and I was researching all of Mel Blanc's other roles to bring up in that episode. Mel Blanc is Captain Caveman. Wow.
Yeah. And I never knew that either. You kind of had, you know, obviously as a kid you don't know who any of the voices are, but you still have some vague sense of this is the, like, everybody knew when they're listening to Cobra Commander and Starscream that that's the same person.
Right.
Even if you weren't into voice acting, even if you'd never heard the term voice acting, you knew, hey, that's the same person. And you can get that with some of Mel Blanc's stuff, but Captain Caveman is kind of completely different to me than anything else that he ever did. I mean, he has a lot of stuff that's different, but this is just way, way completely different.
Oh, right. Yeah, I totally agree. But, you know, this wasn't one of those shows. Even now, it's very rare that I would, when I did have Boomerang, it was very rare that I even saw this show on there. I don't know what they're doing now, obviously, with the property. As far as, because, I mean, Boomerang is the network for all the classic cartoons.
Right.
So I'm not... Huh?
Bastards that won't air on my cable provider. Actually, it's probably my cable provider that hasn't aired them yet, so I shouldn't say too much. But I am happy because, on a completely different side note, and to interject a little bit, the Discovery Channel for kids is something that's on my current lineup, so I'm hopeful that the Hasbro Channel will also be on my lineup.
Well, let's see,
the Hub.
Do you have... okay, you have the Discovery Kids Network?
Yeah, it's on my programming.
Okay, Discovery Kids is turning into the Hub.
Right.
So
right,
all so it'll do is it'll just change over. There's not going to be an additional channel. It's just going to change the programming.
Right.
Unfortunately, I don't know if you've seen the advertisement.
I've seen a couple things.
For the hub. It's on the TFW main page, or it was on the TFW main page. Yeah. It's 95% Discovery Kids, 5% Hasbro.
Yeah, I think what they're doing though is I think they're trying to, because I read a couple articles on it, and from what I read, it sounded to me like it was going to be something where they're phasing the Hasbro stuff into it bit by bit, so it's kind of like a little smoother transition, so they don't lose. I don't think they want to lose. Not that they have a big selection that are watching Discovery Kids.
Right.
But I think they were slightly afraid of losing that entire base if they changed it too
right.
much. But, yeah, I mean, I'm just excited just because of the potential or the possibility. I know it's not going to be great at first, but...
Right, yeah.
You know, and I know it's not a whole new channel, but I'm just hoping that they, just when they change that, all of a sudden, you know, nothing happens with... All of a sudden, we're not going to get it on my... Since I have the channel, I'm assuming that I'll still get it. So
yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. It will be a new channel, but it won't be a new channel in a sense is that like say Discovery Kids now is channel, I don't know, 75. Mm-hmm. You know, whenever they're done with this whole merger thing, you're not going to get the hub at channel 77 or 70. It's
right.
It's probably going to be in the same spot, is what I'm saying. So
right, yeah, that's and yeah. You know, I just hope cable companies don't do anything stupid. So. But, yeah, I mean, just the potential that you eventually may down the road have Hasbro stuff like G.I. Joe, Transformers, My Little Pony, even if it's not right away. Not that I will watch My Little Pony, but...
You know you will.
Hey, I had a couple of the dolls when I was a kid, but I had a sister, too.
Wow, I think that is way more of a sad, you know...
Oh, I agree.
...admission than me admitting to watching Hannah Montana's...
Oh, it's pretty close.
...show, no.
Because you're 30 and watching Hannah Montana, and I was, like, 7 and I had a My Little Pony doll.
Yeah, still.
But, I don't know what would be better... If I could choose having the Hasbro, or if I could choose, the hub, or if I could convince my cable company to start giving me Boomerang.
Oh, why not both?
I know. I actually, when I went on their website, and like, there's like a request a channel. I don't know what good that does, but I requested
it. Yeah. So anyway, I honestly, you know, I watched a few of the episodes that I could find on YouTube, and I think Captain Caveman is probably the only thing I like about this show. The rest of it is just dumb.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I remember this a lot from it when I was a kid. I don't know if it was because it was more close to the time when I was a kid, or if it was because it was so much like Scooby-Doo that my brother watched it a lot because he was a humongous Scooby-Doo fan.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember anything about the Teen Angels at all. I could not even tell you, without the fact that I watched a few episodes this week, I couldn't have told you anything about what the girls looked like, hair color, names, anything. But Captain Caveman, I could tell you a lot about. I just loved his character. I loved him being completely hairy like the Addams Family character. I loved, you know, how he could grab things out of his hair and basically had everything he needed inside his beard or hair, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, and his voice was cool. And, you know, he made the show, obviously, just like Jabberjaw made Jabberjaw and most of these shows. But the difference is on this one is... there's so much of a difference between how good he is and how bad or forgettable the rest of the characters are.
Right, yeah. It's like I said, I think it was last week in, when we were talking about, the hell did we talk about last week?
We talked about
Hong Kong, yeah.
I think there's a difference there. I would say that Captain Caveman is much more like Jabberjaw, where...
Well, no, what I'm trying to get at is, because at the time we had planned to do both these episodes when we did
right.
Hong Kong last week, and when we were talking about it off-air, Captain Caveman, and I was going through the script looking at stuff, and I mainly remember Captain Caveman and Son. I do not remember, like, when I watched... The episodes, the little episodes that I did watch of this and the team, you know, Captain Caveman and Teen Angels, I don't remember anything about that. I remember Captain Caveman and Son being on the Laugh Olympics, the Scooby-Doo's Laugh Olympics team. I do not remember anything.
See, I think this is...
About the other stuff.
I can't go back to my two-three-year-old self or whatever, but if this wasn't one of the first cartoons I ever saw... I would be shocked if it wasn't one of the first five cartoons I ever saw as a child. Just because, given the time period, it was basically new right as I was born.
Right.
So I would think this is probably one of the first cartoons I ever saw in my myself that I can't remember anything from, obviously.
Right.
But the other point I was getting at is, to me, Captain Caveman and Jabberjaw are shows where you put all your marbles into the main character.
Yeah.
And everything is reliant on that main character. Whereas Hong Kong Phooey, even though Hong Kong Phooey was a great standalone character, he had a great cast, show, and everything else around him. To me. I mean, to me, Rosemary was good, you know. The cat was good, and the other characters were memorable and good as well. Whereas in Jabberjaw and Captain Caveman, it was just basically them. Even though they had you could call them maybe a more important side cast, it was also more forgettable to me. So I think that's why these two shows, kind of Captain Caveman and Jabberjaw, kind of seemed very similar to me.
Yes.
I mean, even Scooby-Doo had good supporting casts. You remember all the other characters, not just Scooby-Doo.
As far as, like, cartoons like this, not counting the 80s cartoons like Transformers and G.I. Joe, honestly, and I'm sure I'll bring this up once we get to episode 100 and we do our true look back on the entire podcast, but, you know, since you mentioned that this is probably one of the first cartoons you remember seeing as a kid, honestly, two of the cartoons I remember seeing most when I was, like, 3-4 years old was Casper and the Scooby-Doo Batman Adventures, or the Scooby-Doo Batman movie, or whatever it was, that whole crossover thing there. And the God, what's it called? So I know people are screaming at their iPods. 13 Ghosts, or whatever the hell it was, with Vincent Price.
Yeah, Scooby-Doo, Captain Caveman, and then obviously, you know, probably some of the old classics ones that, like, Flintstones and Jetsons. But
yeah.
I just think because of the time period, this, you know, I was born in 81 and this was just on the 77 to 80, that it might have been, if I could take a time machine and go back, maybe this was one of the first cartoons I ever saw. I don't know.
Yeah. No DeLorean for you.
Damn it.
Don't ever lend one rich egomaniac a lot of narcotics.
I would trade a DeLorean for a transporter, though.
Ew, I don't want my molecules split and put someplace and then put someplace else.
That'd be so awesome.
No. Alright, so getting into the characters and the voice actors. Captain Caveman is voiced by the man of a thousand voices, Mel Blanc. He's the main character in Caveman, who is thousands of years old. His exact age is never disclosed. He can pull various objects from his body hair. He can also fly, but his flying power always seems to conk out on him at the worst possible time. Sometimes he would attribute his mishap to energy shortage. Uh-oh, bad time for energy crisis. Crash. Which is a pun on the oil embargo of the 1970s. He speaks stereotypical caveman talk, replacing subjective pronouns with their objective equivalents, and dropping articles such as the, for example, me know where bad guys are hiding, and often mumbles the nonsense phrase, unga bunga. He also has a bad habit of occasionally eating non-food objects, i.e. bicycles, TV sets, table lamps, and the Teen Angels occasionally have to stop him from eating potential clues that will help them to solve the mystery.
I do have to say, one of the episodes I watched, since it said something about eating non-food objects, there was an episode where the bad guys were stealing bars of gold from from wherever, and they couldn't take them all at once, so they made them into the floor tiles or whatever and painted over them. And they were taking them one at a time. And in the end, they basically unearth or get the paint off of these, and you have basically like 10 or however many gold bars sitting on the floor. and Cavey actually eats them. And the reason I bring that up is because he had this idea way before the hip-hop world did. Then he opens his mouth, and his teeth are all gold. So he had bling before bling was bling.
I bet you can't say that five times fast.
Yeah. But so maybe that's where they got that whole idea from. But yeah, Cavey was just a great character. We mentioned a couple times, you know, pulling stuff out of his hair, although I would never ask to borrow something from him.
Yeah, no.
His eating weird things, carrying around the big club, caveman talk, pulling stuff out of his hair, his catchphrases like the Unga Bunga, or the saying his name, Captain Caveman. It's just all made for a very cool character.
And as far as the Teen Angels go, you basically have Shaggy, Velma, and Fred. Because Brenda is the cowardly one, Dee Dee is the brainy one who solves all the mysteries, and Taffy is the one that comes up with the plans.
Yep. You definitely have the Scooby-Doo characters. It's kind of like a combination, like, we want to do the Charlie's Angels, but since it's the whole show is going to be a premise exactly like Scooby-Doo, then we have to make them more like Scooby-Doo, so it's like a cross between them.
Yeah.
Doing the voice of Brenda, which is the cowardly brunette, is Marilyn Scheffler. Wears a pink top usually. Dee Dee is the brainy African American who usually wears a red turtleneck and has an afro, and she's voiced by Vernie Watson. And Taffy, which is the blonde one, which you said, you know, basically comes up with a plan and has her renowned cry, Zowie, is voiced by Laurel Page. And obviously none of those, I mean, they're decent voice actors, but they're not ones that did a ton of stuff in their careers.
Yeah, outside of, you know, the one of the voice acting gods, this show, meh.
It's full of voice acting gods after those three Teen Angels.
Okay, well, until I'm looking down here, outside of, as far as the main characters, outside of the three, the only one that really matters, obviously, is Captain Caveman. But as you said, the other voices, Julie Bennett, Ted Cassidy, Henry Cordons, I ain't even going there.
Stefaniana Christofferson, who actually is the original, for 12 episodes, the original voice of Daphne Blake on Scooby-Doo. And Nicole Jaffe, or I don't know if I'm saying that name right, is the original voice of Velma.
Oh, cool.
And then, hold on, the Scooby-Doo connections continue. Casey Kasem, the original voice of Shaggy, and Frank Welker is the original voice of Freddy. So this is not only a takeoff of Scooby-Doo, they brought all the voice actors from Scooby-Doo over.
You're also missing Scooby itself, on Messick.
Of course.
Exactly. You know.
And actually, this is crazy. Heather North, I believe, is also a person who either took over the role of Velma or Daphne, one of them, later on.
And then you have Gene Vanderpyl as whoever. You know, what I want to, you know, I'm sure all these other people are all of the SOT characters or the villains.
Right.
So that's kind of cool.
But just glancing over this list, this show by itself has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 people on it that were either in my top 10 male or female voice actors before the 1980s. So it's half of the people that were on my two lists are on this show somewhere. But yeah, outside of the main character, you'd really have to go to all the guest stars because the Teen Angels themselves...
They suck.
both as characters, and not necessarily suck as voice actors, but they just aren't as famous as...
Well, the characters,
suck.
They suck.
But yeah, my favorite character is Captain Caveman, and my least favorite character is all the other characters.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm sure once we get into the actual show and some of the other stuff... it'll mention Cavey and Son. I like the whole dynamic of Captain Caveman and Son.
Yeah, that's kind of a cool thing.
Even though it wasn't part of... And see, that's why when I first thought of doing Captain Caveman, and you added... You were the one that actually added the Teen Angels crap part of the title to the thing.
That's the official name.
Well, I never knew it was the official... I just always thought it was Captain Caveman. Because that's what I always saw it as. So
it's kind of like GoBots, even though it's a challenge of the GoBots.
Fuck them damn GoBots and Transformers knockoffs. Anyways, we're not going to get back into that. hands down, Captain Caveman is the favorite. So moving into the behind-the-scenes segment, not much here, actually. It's just the credits. Obviously... Hanna-Barbera, Charles A. Nichols, who we've talked about a couple of times throughout the Hanna-Barbera spotlight, Ruby and Spears, Andy Hayward, I don't know who the hell that is, Ray, I wonder if that is meant to say Ray Parker Jr.
I know, I think Andy Hayward's one of the guys that's the leftover from, one of the guys they took from Warner Brothers or
probably
those places.
Yeah, it's pretty much almost the same crew as working with, one of the other shows. It's probably, was it Hong Kong or McGill?
Right. I think it's pretty close to Hong Kong, Fui.
Yeah, it was either Hong Kong or McGilla. I'm not sure.
There is one other name that stands out, though.
Wally Burr.
Yeah, Wally Burr is the recording director in one of his, probably earlier roles. Or at least it's the first time we've seen him show up, basically.
Before Transformers.
Well, and in the Hanna-Barbera cartoon style. And there is one guy who wrote some stories for Transformers that wrote for this, but...
Yeah, we don't want you to blow your... You know, we don't... we're not going to even mention him.
So if you want to know who that is, you can check the credits online somewhere, but he sucks, so...
It's much in the line of a lot of us, well, obviously you're not a Red Sox fan, but a lot of us Red Sox fans that have a middle name for Bucky Dent. is Donald fucking Glut.
Yeah.
Going into the actual show, wow, I almost forgot about that. Captain Caveman centers on the mystery-solving adventures of the Teen Angels, Brenda, Dee, and Taffy, and their friend Captain Caveman, or Cavey for short. A prehistoric caveman whom the girls discovered and thawed from a block of ice. The concept and general plot for the show was seen as a parody of Charlie's Angels, which also aired on ABC, and also borrowed heavily from other Hanna-Barbera shows such as Scooby-Doo and Josie and the Pussycats. That's wrong. Nope, there was no music playing in this one. Captain Caveman's powers include super strength, a variety of useful objects hidden inside his fur, and a club that allows him to fly, from which pops out... different tools he uses to fight crime. His trademark is his battle cry of Captain Caveman. Captain Caveman's voice was provided by Mel Blanc. The first and second seasons of the show remained part of the Scooby's All-Star Laugh Olympics and Scooby's All-Stars through 1979. Cavey and the girls also participated in sporting competitions as part of the Scooby-Doobies team on the half-hour Laugh Olympics segment. In March 1980, Captain Caveman and the Teen Angels were given their own half-hour show, with 16 new episodes combined with reruns from 77 to 79. A total of 40 10-minute episodes were produced, 16 in 77, 78, 8 in 78, 79, and 16 in 1980. Yeah, one of those things, I think you were trying to mention it when we tried to record this last week. This show actually is very different from most Hanna-Barbera cartoons in the fact that it had 10-minute shorts. Most of them had, what, 6-7 minute shorts?
Yeah, most of the time, especially in the early on, you had 3 6-to-7 minute shorts, and at the same time, they were all 3 different components. Whereas in Captain Caveman, and I'm pretty sure with Hong Kong Fui as well, you had 2 10-minute shorts, but it was both the same title show.
Right, right.
So, yeah, it's a little different. I mean, if you were tracing back the history of cartoons, cartoons on TV started with 3 7-minute segments, then they eventually evolved into 2 10-minute segments, and then eventually, obviously, to the 1 20-to-25-minute segment, although some obviously have tried to harken back on that kind of classic feel and done shorter segments, stuff like Tiny Toons and Animaniacs, and a lot of the more modern stuff has done shorter segments.
You know, if you think about it, like Tiny Toons or you know, even the older cartoons that we're talking about now, if you think about it, especially with this show, you got 2 10-minute segments. Mm-hmm. Say on TV, a cartoon is 30 minutes. 2 10-minute segments is 20 minutes, and then an additional 10 minutes for advertisements.
Right. I also think I think it's easier to write, one thing, the shorter segments, without being an actual cartoon writer, of course. But I also think that it's easier for comedies and lighter subject materials to do these short segments. You know, it's when you get into the actual big time like action and adventure cartoons that you usually need more than a 7 or 10 minute clip to tell your story. That's why I think you see with like Tiny Toons and Animaniacs, and I can't think of all the others, but there's been a lot of others since then. It's usually more of the fun music, comedy, lighthearted stuff that has the short segments.
Right, right. I guess what?
Nothing. I'm just looking at the theme song.
Oh, yeah. Going into the music segment. Take it away.
The opening credits for each episode consisted of a voiceover narration by none other than Gary Owens, and this is how it went, basically. Set free by the Teen Angels from his prehistoric block of glacier ice comes the world's first superhero, Captain Caveman. Now the constant companion to the Teen Angels, Brenda, Dee Dee, and Taffy, in their hilarious and sometimes scary mystery missions. Get ready for Captain Caveman and the Teen Angels. And then, of course, you'd have Mel Blanc doing his long, drawn-out Captain Caveman thing. And the music, this is weird, but the music heard in the closing credits is actually...
Ah, crap. Not again.
The CB Bears, another cartoon show that was airing at the exact same time, is its actual theme music. So the theme music for CB Bears is in the closing credits of this show, which just makes it seem like they must have been hard up for music at that time period.
Must have been.
And we won't get into the CB Bears other than nobody knows, besides that they were a cartoon at the same time, anything about them.
I don't know what the hell that show is, and it will never be covered on this podcast.
That's for sure.
Obviously, musical directions done by Hoyt Curtin and Ted Nichols, as so many of the other ones we've done. Going into the legacy segment, why don't you take the Flintstone connection?
All right. Basically, in November 1980, Captain Caveman began to star in segments of his own on the Flintstone comedy show, one of many spin-offs of Hanna-Barbera's popular primetime show, The Flintstones. Often in a role similar to that of Superman, Captain Caveman worked at the Daily Granite newspaper with Wilma and Betty. His secret identity was Chester, the office boy. To disguise himself as Chester, Captain Caveman wore a pair of glasses and a tie over his completely hairy self. Despite the simplicity of his disguise, he required a coat rack and an elaborate transformation sequence to become Captain Caveman.
Oh, God. That's horrible. No, I want to take the next one. But that is going to be the worst Superman ripoff I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And this is one that I remember. Mainly the Flintstone Kids connection, which is in 1986, Captain Caveman appeared in the backup segment of the Flintstone Kids called Captain Caveman and Son, which I remember watching that more than the actual show that we're talking about today. I actually remember watching that more than the actual Flintstone Kids. His son, Cavey Jr., was voiced by Charles Adler, who is also the voice of Buster in Tiny Toons. In this case, he appeared on a show within a show that the younger versions of Fred, Barney, Wilma, and Betty enjoyed watching. The captain's mumbled "unga bunga" became a catchphrase that the kids would shout before watching each episode of the show. The whole secret identity idea was also ignored or forgotten. Thank God.
They realized that was a bad idea.
Yeah, thank God. As far as some of the other appearances, Captain Caveman later appeared in the Harvey Birdman Attorney at Law episode The Evolutionary War, with Captain Caveman voiced by Chris Edgerly and Cavey Jr. voiced by Maurice LaMarche. His son Cavey Jr. was teased at school because his existence proved the theory of evolution. I don't even remember watching Harvey Birdman Attorney at Law, so I don't think that'll ever be. Yeah, thank God.
He appeared in Robot Chicken in an episode. We won't get into why or how. But he's out there in an episode called Ban on the Fun. And then he's been in a couple of video games and computer stuff that we don't need to talk about. And then in the Family Guy episode named Perfect Castaway, Peter expresses how much he misses Captain Caveman and vows that he will see him again once he gets off the island. So
that's so stupid.
Been in a bunch of stuff. Family Guy is one of the greatest primetime cartoons of all time.
Ding, wrong.
No, it's better than Simpsons and a lot of other stuff.
Whatever.
And Captain Caveman's been featured in I Love the 70s, that show that we saw on VH1 all those years ago. And, of course, the 100 Greatest Cartoons TV special in 2005,
yep.
Although it's not in IGN's Top 100.
Well, it's not go there now.
I don't know if I mentioned it or not on the last episode, but I did complain on their website that their list is shit.
Oh, wow.
There's a little message thing where you leave comments. I'm like, this is terrible. I'm like, Yogi Bear's not even in your top 100. You suck.
Okay, the series has not yet been released on DVD for the Hanna-Barbera Classics Collection from Warner Home Video, which is unfortunate.
Junecast will be back after these messages.
The TFG1 podcast has 24 action-packed discussion episodes on the original Transformers cartoon. So if you're a fan of the 80s cartoon, we have all you need and more, as well as an interview with Stan Bush. You can find us on iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Tune in. Do you like reminiscing on the cartoons of old? Well, look no further. Tooncast is dedicated to the cartoons you grew up with. From the 50s to the 90s, all manner of classic cartoons will be discussed. We even had the chance to interview Lion-O, Lord of the Thundercats. Yes, that's right, Larry Kenney. You can find us on iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com.
There once was a boy, an albino, I'm told, who possessed the power of Pen Pusher Gold. He had many stories, all short and exciting, but nobody knew, and so he began writing. He sat there all summer and skillfully sought to perfectly ponder and polish each plot. The settings were set, all the characters cast, his fingers were flying and flailing so fast, and soon the young man with the snowy complexion quickly concocted the caffeine collection. He smiled, satisfied with his clever creation. Oh, the things that did pour from his imagination. Stories of pirates and future police, of devils and bullies, and a twist press release. Fantasy, mystery, both are included. Comedy, action, no genre excluded. You say to yourself, it's too good to be true, but author Steve Saylor would not lie to you. An audiobook so you don't have to read. And hey, $15 is all that you need.
From the author of the podcast novel Black Shadow, Steve Saylor presents The Caffeine Collection, a dynamic audiobook collection of short stories presented by RingtoneFeeder.com and SteveSaylor.net. Steve presents a genre mashup of multiple stories for your ears.
I have to be on caffeine to write all this.
Steve Saylor presents The Caffeine Collection, on sale October 28th, 2009.
So mark this day down so you will not forget. For more information, SteveSaylor.net.
Okay, so we are going to close out the Hanna-Barbera Spotlight. And I know that a lot of you may not be too thrilled with us for not covering certain cartoons just because of time constraints and the episode numbers as far as the schedule for Tooncast goes. It was one of those things where we had to pick and choose like some of the most famous Hanna-Barbera cartoons.
We basically had to pick and choose in a lot of different parts of this show. I mean, basically we have 100 episodes to cover as many tunes and try to go across the spectrum and hit all genres and all things that were, you know, prominent. And so we've had to make choices in all. We had to make choices in the Disney Spotlight. We have to make choices in the Hanna-Barbera Spotlight. We even have to make choices when it comes down to the regular, you know, everyday cartoon type things. So
exactly.
We're doing our best, but there's no way we can cover everything.
Very true. You know, originally the Spotlight was going to be longer. The reason why it wasn't was because I wanted to obviously put the Easter Beagle, Charlie Brown, out for Easter because it's a holiday thing, and it was the last Charlie Brown cartoon we were going to cover. I'm sure Kevin's happy of that.
Yes.
Shut up. But, you know, and people are probably wondering, well, where's Flintstones, where's Jetsons, where's Scooby-Doo? Flintstones and Jetsons got their own actually, the Flintstones and the Jetsons are in the same episode. They got their own episode back at episode 21. Scooby-Doo and some of the other Scooby-Doo incarnations, like 13 Ghosts and Scooby-Doo movies, will not air or will not be covered until, I think it's somewhere in the 70s of the show.
And we did already cover a
pup named Scooby-Doo. Yeah. Hey, it's so, stereo.
but basically, you got to consider that, you know, if we find a genre or a group that we've been kind of, that we left out and that we want to cover, which is also kind of what happened, even though we've cut down a couple of the Hanna-Barbera shows, it gave us an opportunity to hit a whole another group with what will be after this.
Right.
With the Sonic stuff.
Right, yeah.
Scooby-Doo is episode 77 or so.
Yes. And then there, I don't know, I'll have to look at the schedule later. I don't have it pulled up at the moment.
There's actually quite a few Hanna-Barbera ones that we'll still cover in other fashion.
Oh, yeah, and I think it's one of those things where, you know, the whole point of the spotlight was to take some of the smaller cartoons. Like,
give them their chance to shine.
Right. And I'm not saying that Yogi Bear is less popular than Scooby-Doo or Huckleberry. It has nothing to do with that. I wanted to get a whole bunch of those mini-type cartoons, like Huckleberry Hound. Hell, we didn't even mention Snagglepuss this entire spotlight, unfortunately.
Well, and we also barely, you know, there's a lot of side components that we tried to get in when we covered their episodes, but we might not give it a lot of attention, like, you know, Pumpkinpuss and Mush Mouse or Jinx, Pixie and Dixie and Jinx and all that.
But, you know, with bigger properties like the Jetsons and the Flintstones, which have already been covered, and coming up with Scooby-Doo and stuff like that, I wanted to give them their own episode.
Yeah. So, I mean, basically what we've done is we've started at the beginning of Hanna-Barbera, and we've covered a lot of the early stuff and some of the stuff that may not have had enough information to make a whole episode. But I think we've gone, you know, we've gone all the way from the very first one all the way up through the 1980s, so we've covered Hanna-Barbera over the course of
30 years.
Yeah, and, you know, I think we've done a good job selecting them, just to give you an idea. Just for those that may not have been watching us the whole time, you can go back and watch these episodes. But we've covered Huckleberry Hound, Yogi Bear, Quick Draw McGraw, Hong Kong Phooey, Jabberjaw, McGilla Gorilla, and now Captain Caveman.
I would like to be put on record as saying you forcibly told me to remove Grape Ape, which Grape Ape was one of the best cartoons that they had. Maybe not as famous as Yogi Bear or Huckleberry Hound, but it was still a cool cartoon.
Yeah, most critics don't speak highly of Grape Ape, but I remember it fondly from when I was a child. I think that, you know, for the record, the ones that got cut off were Grape Ape and Adam Ant, Secret Squirrel. And I remember Grape Ape from when I was a kid. I just love how he said Grape Ape.
Grape Ape. Yep.
But that was cool. But, you know, those are just some of the shows that we didn't cover. But just giving my thoughts on the ones that we have covered, and I'll leave everything else to speculation.
Fine.
But one reason I enjoyed the thought of doing this is because a lot of these cartoons I hadn't seen since either I was a kid or since I, you know, for a long time. And it gave me a chance to watch them, and it gave me a chance to remember or to figure out as my adult self which ones I still like or which ones were better than others, and there's actually a couple of these I'm going to go out and get on DVD. There's a couple that are not available on DVD, but I am going to get a couple of them. My favorites that we've covered over the spotlight by far, and I didn't know this going in, even though it's probably the most famous one, but Yogi Bear is just awesome.
Yeah.
The stories are great. The voice acting's great. Everything about it. Every episode I've watched in doing this podcast, none of them I wanted to turn off. None of them I got bored with. None of them I was like, how much longer is this going to last? Which I can't say for some of the other shows that we've covered on here. Huckleberry Hound was okay, but I actually think I prefer Quick Draw McGraw over Huckleberry Hound. I just like Baba Louie and Quick Draw McGraw a little bit better as characters than Huckleberry Hound. Huckleberry Hound just naturally, I mean, it was intentional, but it's naturally easier to get bored with him, with his slow talking and whatnot. As far as the others go, Jabberjaw and Captain Caveman are kind of hard to watch these days, even though they have two great characters. It's just hard to deal with the rest of the show. But yeah, Jabberjaw himself and Captain Caveman are cool. And I'm kind of indifferent when it comes to McGilla Gorilla. I like the idea of McGilla Gorilla, but some of the episodes I got kind of tired with. So I'd say my favorites are Yogi Bear, Quick Draw McGraw, and I'll give honorable mention to Hong Kong Phooey.
Yeah. Speaking of Jabberjaw, I don't know, you haven't commented on it yet, but I tagged you in a photo of on Facebook because I found the Jabberjaw bobblehead.
Oh yeah, I saw that. That was awesome.
And you had asked, how the hell are they going to have a bobblehead? It's a shark. And I looked at the toy. Now, I don't know if you can actually buy this, but I looked at the bobblehead, and where his tail is a separate piece, and then, like, from his midsection up to it where his head is, that's a separate piece. So that whole piece is what bobbles. It kind of defeats the purpose of an actual bobble head.
It's more of a bobble doll.
Yeah, it's more of a bobble body.
Yeah, but you know, I would say that Jabberjaw's voice is probably one of the best voices in the whole Hanna-Barbera spotlight, not just because it was Frank Welker, just because it was a cool take on Curly.
Yeah.
And we had some remarkably good take, you know, Hong Kong Fooey with Scatman Crothers is a good voice, Mel Blanc's Captain Caveman is a good voice. So there were some pretty cool voices here.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the whole spotlight goes, do you have a favorite show?
See, it's so hard to pick, but I mean, honestly, Hong Kong. I would put Hong Kong in there because not really like number one overall, but I would put him in there because, like you said, Scatman Carruthers, and I didn't even know it was Scatman Carruthers until I actually read the information, and I was like, oh wait, yeah, because I started thinking about it, because obviously when you're doing a podcast and you're doing research on these things and then you start talking, you're like, oh yeah, wow. Yeah, you're right. That's that. I like Huckleberry and I like Yogi. One of the reasons why I like Huckleberry is just some of the strange situations that the animators and writers put him in. Like being a policeman and trying to catch the bad guys down the freeway and they trick him into doing something, or when he's being the mailman and the dog won't let him deliver the mail, right. You know. But really, you know, honestly, a lot of this stuff, like Huckleberry, and of course we didn't really mention Snagglepuss and Yogi and all that stuff, I remember them as the combination shows, like that one big Yogi, all the big Yogi Bear combination shows and movies, because yeah. I remember them getting all together for the majority of it.
Yeah, and that's a good, those are fun things to see. I almost feel like I'm cheating choosing Yogi Bear, but I will say that from now on, if I ever, and this isn't just talking about IGN, but and any list that ever comes out of either the top 50 or top 100 cartoons of all time, if Yogi Bear is not on that list, it's an automatic fail. It's just an automatic fail. There may be a couple other of these that we've talked about that some may like better than Yogi Bear, but for how long Yogi Bear's lasted, for its impact, for all the spin-offs and everything else like that,
yeah.
If it's not in a top 50 or top 100 list, it's just a complete epic failure. And that's all, I mean, and I just think one last time we should probably give a recognition or give out props or shout-outs, even though most of them are no longer with us. Hanna-Barbera themselves, Don Messick and Dawes Butler for doing most of the voices that we've covered over this spotlight. And
Mel Blanc.
Mel Blanc for some of them, obviously Frank Welker for some of them, and then Ruby and Spears for their impact in this, but just Hanna-Barbera putting out classic stuff.
Oh yeah, very much so.
And some of it doesn't stand up to the test of time, but some of it does. And the stuff that does is just beyond classic.
Oh yes, very, very much so. So I guess that's going to be it for us for this episode.
I would like to put out there, even though, you know, it won't be out, they won't be able to get back to us in, you know, a timely manner as far as hearing it right away, but anybody that's listening to this episode, I would like you to call our voicemail and just give us a quick snippet of what your favorite Hanna-Barbera cartoon is. And if you don't, you know, if you want to, give us your least favorite too, but I'd like to hear some of your other people's, because I feel like I'm cheating picking Yogi Bear.
I mean, let's be honest. You know, Yogi, Scooby, Huckleberry. You know, if you pick those top tier ones, you know who's left. You know, Grape Ape, Punkin' Puss, Mush Mouse. You know, just all the side characters. And it's like I said when we talked about Punkin' Puss and all that. I actually preferred watching the Punkin' Puss and Mush Mouse cartoons to the McGilla Gorilla show.
Yeah,
I mean, McGilla's okay. I mean, there's nothing wrong with McGilla Gorilla. It's okay. It's not the best show in the world, but it's just one of those things where I preferred watching the side characters.
And I think it said something similar with Pixie and Dixie as well.
Yeah. Well, Pixie and Mr. Jinx is just hilarious.
Yeah, but, you know, give us a call in and tell us what your favorite Hanna-Barbera show was. That'd be cool.
Yes. Thank you for joining us here on TuneCast. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. First is you can stop by geekcastradio.com. You can find all the other podcasts there. You can also comment on all of the podcasts there, whatever individual episode you want to comment on. You can stop by our forums, PredaconEmpire.com/Nexus. Join the forums, please. And the third is you can leave the show feedback in iTunes. Please do this. As Kevin said, please give us a call and leave us a voicemail. The number is 502-526-5821. Be sure to say what show you're leaving the message for and your name. We have Twitter. The show name there is GCR and Tooncast. Mine is TFG and Mike. And what is your Twitter?
BossKDAWG.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tooncast. Wish you'll join us next time. We'll have a special guest, General Techno from Toycast. He will be on the next two episodes with us. Next episode, we're going to be reviewing Sonic the Hedgehog. For now, I am TFG and Mike, saying in the world. Oh, wait. Yeah, who are you?
Optimus Solo.
I almost forgot that you were here.
Bastard.
Saying in the world words of Optimus Prime, transform and roll out, and thank you for listening. Until next time.
Free by the Teen Angels from his prehistoric block of glacier ice comes the world's first superhero, Captain Caveman. Now the constant companion to the Teen Angels, Brenda, Dee Dee, and Taffy in their hilarious and sometimes scary mystery mission. Get ready for Captain Caveman and the Teen Angels.
Hey, Columbus, it's Jenny and Bill from Simple Bath and Kitchen. Are you thinking about updating your bathroom or kitchen?
Don't call some big out-of-town franchise. We're local, top to bottom, right here in Columbus.
We know our city, we know the homes, and we always treat every project like it's our own.
On time, on budget, zero pressure, so you can actually enjoy your home.
Visit SimpleBathAndKitchen.com today.
We make it simple for you.
That's SimpleBathAndKitchen.com.
SimpleBathAndKitchen.com.
Apartment People, champion, the trusted name in Columbus living, brings you the District of Berkshire.
Man, it will be fun to live there, right by Tanger Outlet Malls. Oh my God, great location too, getting to and from Columbus, and a great deal right now.
Free rent until next year. Free rent until next year.
He ain't lying. Move in now, you don't pay rent until next year.
The District at Berkshire, available now at livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com.